Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Anderson, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Berryhill, Bradford, Cannella, DeLeon, Dodd, Fuller, Gaines, Galgioni, Glazer, Hernandez, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Jackson, Lada, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrell, Newman, Wynn, Nilsson, Pan, Porchettino, Roth, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Vidak, Wyckowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Members, the secretary notices an absence of a quorum. If you could please make your way to session so that we may begin as promptly as possible. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Anderson, Atkins, Bates, Bell, Berryhill, Bradford, Cannella, DeLeon, Dodd, Fuller, Gaines, Galgioni, Glazer, Hernandez, Hertzberg, Hill, Hueso, Jackson, Lada, Leyva, McGuire, Mitchell, Monning, Morlock, Morrell, Newman, Wynn, Nilsson, Pan, Portantino, Roth, Skinner, Stern, Stone, Vidak, Wyckowski, Wiener, Wilk.
Literally nobody on the floor. Oh. All right. Members, a quorum is present. Would the members and our guests beyond the rail and in the gallery please rise? We will be led in prayer this morning by our chaplain, Sister Michelle Gorman, after which, please remain standing. We will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Senator Dodd.
Let us center ourselves in God's presence. Our prayer today is an Irish blessing by John O'Donohue. May you listen to your longing to be free. May the frames of your belonging be large enough for the dreams of your soul. May you arise each day with the voice of blessing, whispering in your heart that something good will happen today. May you find a harmony between your soul and your life. May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. May your angel free you from the prisons of guilt, fear, disappointment, and despair. And may you allow the wild beauty of the invisible world to gather you, mind you, and embrace you in belonging. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, members. We're going to move to privileges of the floor. Beginning with members, we're going to take up out of order file item 7. Senator Leyva. Secretary, please read.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 97 by Senator Leyva relative to public health.
Senator Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Mr. President and members. Today, I rise to present SCR 97, which proclaims October 3rd as Inflammatory Breast Cancer Awareness Day. Inflammatory breast cancer is a rare and aggressive type of breast cancer that, when diagnosed at stage 4, has less than a 2-year survival rate. The symptoms and presentation of inflammatory breast cancer are different from more common types of breast cancer. For this reason, it is more difficult to diagnose and is often missed by routine mammograms. The delay and difficulty of diagnosing inflammatory breast cancer is worsened by the fact that this type of cancer progresses rapidly, often in a matter of just weeks. This results in many being diagnosed at an advanced stage of cancer. When compared to other types of breast cancer, inflammatory breast cancer affects both women and men, but tends to be diagnosed in women of younger ages, and the age of women being diagnosed continues to get younger and younger. The goal of SCR 97 is to raise awareness and encourage all Californians to learn more about this rare and aggressive type of breast cancer. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Members, debate or discussion on this item? Debate or discussion? Seeing and hearing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Anderson. Atkins.
Aye.
Bates. Aye. Bell. Aye. Berryhill. Bradford.
Aye.
Canella. De Leon.
Aye.
Dodd.
Aye.
Fuller.
Aye.
Gaines. Galjani.
Aye.
Glazer.
Aye.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hill.
Aye.
Hueso.
Aye.
Jackson.
Aye.
Aye. Latta.
Aye.
Aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Mitchell.
Aye.
Aye. Monning.
Aye.
Aye. Morlock.
Aye.
Morrell.
Aye.
Aye. Newman.
Aye.
Aye. Wynn. Nilsson.
Aye.
Aye. Pan.
Aye.
Aye. Porchettino. Roth.
Aye.
Aye. Skinner.
Aye.
Stern.
Aye.
Stone.
Aye.
Vidak.
Aye.
Wachowski.
Aye.
Wiener.
Aye.
Wilk.
Aye.
Please call the absent members.
Allen.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Berryhill.
Aye.
Canella.
Aye.
Gaines. Wynn.
Aye.
Portantino.
Aye.
Senator Leyva moves the call. Senator Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is now my pleasure to introduce a wonderful group of inflammatory breast cancer advocates and patients today from Fighting for the Tatas Breast Cancer Organization, a 501c3 nonprofit based in Rialto. Their goal is to replace fear with facts and to empower women with information, as well as to educate the public that one does not need to find or have a lump in the breast to have inflammatory breast cancer. The organization also offers temporary financial support to defray some of the costs of utility bills while patients undergo breast cancer treatment. Also, very important, they promote breast health and wellness through education and emotional help for women, men, and their families before, during, and after cancer treatment. They are a leading organization in the Inland Empire and our state, and are a dynamic force striving to improve the quality of information and healthcare options for patients and their families. Thank you, colleagues. They traveled all the way from Southern California, and some have never been to the Capitol before. I would like to thank Fighting for the Tatas for all of the amazing work that they do every single day to help raise awareness regarding inflammatory breast cancer. It is my honor to welcome all of them to the Senate floor.
Congratulations and welcome to your state capitol. Members, we're going to return to privileges of the floor.
You're welcome.
Members, we're returning to privileges of the floor. Please, Senator Bradford at Senator DeLeon's desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. For purposes of introduction, as vice chair of the Legislative Black Caucus, I want to welcome a group of educators who are here in Sacramento this week for a conference, the California Association of African American Superintendents and Administrators. Over 620 administrators and superintendents are here in the state of California, and I'm joined today by four of the great educators in the state of California, a school board member from Pomona, Ms. Macklin, former superintendent for Inglewood Unified School District, Pamela Short Powell, Dr. Teresa Price, and Dr. Lisa Fears, that I grew up with right around the corner in Gardena. So on behalf of the California legislature, we want to say welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Senator Wynn on this issue.
Thank you. Not this issue.
Oh, this whole. Welcome again to Senator Bradford's guest. Welcome to your state senate. Before we go to Senator Wynn, we're going to go to Senator Monning.
Thank you, Mr. President. For purposes of introduction.
Without objection.
Members, please join me in welcoming our leadership Morgan Hill group up in the gallery. Welcome, Morgan Hill. Please take a stand. Thank you. Thank you for your leadership.
Welcome to our guests from Morgan Hill. Welcome to your California State Senate. Senator Wynn.
Thank you, Mr. President. For purpose of introduction.
Without objection.
I just want to welcome today my five-year-old, Timothy, here at the state capitol. He was here last year. He just turned 5 years old on Valentine's Day, so I just want to welcome Timothy.
Welcome to our youngest member of the Senate today. Members, are there any other privileges of the floor? Seeing none, we're going to move to messages from the governor. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read and amendments adopted. Motions, resolutions, and notices. Without objection, the Senate journals for March 12th through March 15, 2018 will be approved as corrected by the minute clerk. Any additional motions, resolutions, and notices? Seeing none, we're gonna move to consideration of the daily file. Beginning with second reading, Secretary, please read.
Senate Bill 972, Senate Bill 919 with amendments, and Assembly Bill 417.
Thank you, second reading will be deemed read. Members, we're gonna move to governor's appointments. Senator DeLeon, are we going to take up governor's appointments? Members, this is first item is file item number four. Senator DeLeon.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Colleagues, we have before us Karen S. Yamamoto, who is a member of CalSTRS, the State Teachers Retirement Board, which administers retirement programs for over 915,000 members. She is a former school teacher at Washington Unified School District. Ms. Yamamoto serves as the retiree representative on the board. She was approved on a unanimous vote in the Senate Rules Committee just last month, and therefore I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Members, debate or discussion on this item? Debate or discussion? Seeing and hearing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Anderson. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Bates. Aye, Bell. Aye, Berryhill. Aye, Bradford. Aye, Kinella. Aye, De Leon.
Aye.
Aye, Dodd. Aye, Fuller. Aye, Gaines. Aye, Galgioni. Aye, Glazer. Hernandez. Aye, Hertzberg. Aye, Hill. Aye, Wesso. Aye, Jackson. Aye, Lada. Aye, Leba. Aye, McGuire. Aye, Mitchell. Aye, Monning. Aye, Morlock. I Morrell, Newman, I Wynn, I Nilsson, I Pan, I Porchettino, I Roth, I Skinner, I Stern, Stone, I Vidak, I Wykowski, I Wiener, I Wilk, I.
Please call the absent members.
Allen, I Glazer, I Morrell. Stern.
Thirty-seven ayes, zero no. The appointment is confirmed. Members, we're moving to file item number five, Senator DeLeon.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Colleagues, we have the last gubernatorial appointment before us today. That is Ms. Rebecca B. May, who is the Chief Professional Fiduciaries, who is the Chief of the Professional Fiduciaries Bureau. This bureau is responsible for licensing and regulating non-family member professional fiduciaries in California. Ms. May was previously an analyst at the Department of Consumer Affairs, as well as a legislative staffer. She was approved in the Senate Rules Committee also again last month, February, and she was approved on a unanimous bipartisan vote. Therefore, I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Members, debate or discussion on this item? Debate or discussion? Seeing and hearing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Anderson. Aye. Atkins. Aye. Bates. Aye. Bell. Aye. Berryhill. Aye. Bradford. Aye. Kinella. Aye. De Leon. Aye. Dodd. Aye. Fuller. Aye. Gaines. Aye. Galgioni. Aye. Glazer. Aye. Hernandez. Aye. Hertzberg. Aye. Hill. Aye, Wesso. Aye, Jackson. Aye, Lada.
Aye.
Aye, Leyva. Aye, McGuire. Aye, Mitchell. Aye, Munning. Aye, Morlock. Aye, Morrell. Newman. Aye, Wynn. Aye, Nilsson. Aye, Pan. Aye, Porchettino. Aye, Roth. Aye, Skinner. Aye, Stern. Stone. Aye, Vidak. Aye, Wachowski. Aye, Wiener. Aye, Wilk. Aye.
Please call the absent members.
Morrell, Stern, aye.
Ayes 38, no 0. The appointment is confirmed then. Members, we're going to move to Senate third reading, beginning with file item number 8. Senator Fuller. Secretary, please read.
Senate concurrent resolution 103 by Senator Fuller relative to California Physical Education Week.
Senator Fuller.
While we have time today, we'll do our resolution a little early. Today I'm going to rise and present SCR 103, which would declare May 1st through May 7th as California Physical Education Week. As a former educator, I realize that physical education is an integral part of a well-rounded education in California and across the nation. In fact, most of us in school look forward to that period every day. Evidence shows that California children are less active now more than ever. The impact of physical education programs is key in building their skills, advancing their knowledge, helping them play on teams, and contributing to the dispositions for physical activity throughout all stages of life. It makes significant contribution to our citizens, including improved health, longer life, higher academic achievement, improved mental health, and improved quality of life. SCR 103 encourages teachers, school policymakers, and school leaders to provide the highest quality physical education instruction for their schools for all their pupils. Please join me in recognizing the importance of physical education by declaring May 1st through May 7th as California Physical Education Week. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Fuller. Debate or discussion on this item? Debate or discussion? Seeing and hearing none, Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen, Anderson, aye, Atkins, aye, Bates, aye, Bell, aye, Berryhill, aye, Bradford, aye, Canella, aye, De Leon, aye, Dodd, aye, Fuller, aye, Gaines, aye, Galgioni, aye, Glazer, aye, Hernandez, aye, Hertzberg, aye, Hill, aye, Wessel, aye, Jackson, aye, Lada, aye, Leyva, aye, McGuire, aye, Mitchell, aye, Munning, aye, Morlock, aye, Morrell, Newman, aye, Wynn, aye, Nilsson, aye, Pan, aye, Porchettino, aye, Roth, aye, Skinner, aye, Stern, aye, Stone, aye, Vidak, aye, Wachowski, aye, Wiener, aye, Wilk, aye.
Please call the absent members.
Allen, Morrell.
Ayes 37, no 0. The resolution is adopted. Moving on to file item number 9. Senator Gaines.
Moved to the inactive file.
Without objection, we move this item to the inactive file. File item number 10. Senator McGuire. Pass on file. File item 11. Senator Bell. Pass on file. File item 12. Senator Newman. Pass on file. File item 13, pass on file. File item 14, Senator Hill. Senator Hill, item, file item 14. Pass on file. File item 15, Senator De Leon. Pass on file. File item 16, Senator Jackson. Secretary, please read.
Senate concurrent resolution 113 by Senator Jackson relative to International Women's Day.
Senator Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Today I rise to introduce SCR 113, which recognizes March 8th, 2018 as International Women's Day. The fact that it is only one day of the year really begs the question that Women's days should be every day of the year. But nonetheless, in the United States, the first National Women's Day took place in 1909 in honor of the 1908 garment workers' strike for better working conditions that took place in New York City. The first International Women's Day took place in 1911 as more than 1 million women and men from a number of countries participated in rallies demanding the rights of women to vote, to hold public office, to vocational training, to work, as well as calling for an end to discrimination in the workplace. This, mind you, well over 100 years ago. The battles, of course, still continue. But in celebration of this global movement for women's rights, every year the United Nations has designated a theme for this very important day, with this year's theme being titled, Time is Now, Rural and Urban Marches and Campaigns in Honor of Women's Rights All Over the World, for women who continue to work tirelessly to address significant issues including sexual harassment, femicide, equal pay, and women's political representation. Such movements include the Women's Marches, hashtag MeToo, and Time's Up movements here in the United States as well as abroad. Women, as we know, make up more than half the world's population, and we certainly do hold up at least, if not more, than half the sky. While many countries have developed and adopted measures to recognize and protect women's rights, this year's National United Nations theme, rather, draws attention to the fact that women's rights in communities of color and developing countries are still being left behind based on the major measures of development, such as those that exist in CEDAW, which is the Commission for the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, which is recognized as the International Bill of Rights for Women. There is still much work to be done to address gender pay and leadership gaps, access to social protections, and ensuring gender-responsive economic policies for job creation and poverty reduction to help women of those communities and here in the United States as well. Members, please join me in supporting this resolution as it not only serves to commemorate March 8th as a day of celebration for the tremendous progress that has indeed been made for women's rights as a result of so many extraordinary women's social activism and organized movements all over the world, but also as a reminder that there is still so much work yet to be done. With that, I would respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Members, debate or discussion on this item? Debate or discussion? Seeing and hearing none, is there objection to using our unanimous roll call? Seeing and hearing none, ayes 38, no 0, the resolution's adopted. Moving to file item 17, Senator Hertzberg.
Pass on file.
Pass on file. I'm going to move now to file item 19, Senator Galgiani. Pass on file. File item 20, Senator Dodd. Pass on file. Members, we're going to move to assembly third reading. File item 24, Senator Skinner. File item 24.
Didn't expect it to come up today. Pass on file for now.
Pass on file. Members, we're going to move just slightly out of order to do committee announcements given the workload of our committees before we return to motions and resolutions. Any committee announcements? Senator Wieckowski.
The Budget and Review Committee, Subcommittee number 2 on Energy and Resources and Transportation will meet at 9:45.
Such will be the order. Senator Portantino.
112.
The Education Budget Subcommittee will meet at 9:50 in 3191.
Thank you. Senator Roth.
Thank you, Mr. President. Budget Subcommittee number 4 will meet at 9:45 in room 2040.
Thank you. Senator Penn.
Thank you. Budget Fiscal Review Subcommittee number 3 on Health and Human Services will meet at 10 o'clock in room 4203.
Thank you. Members, any additional committee announcements? Senator Skinner.
The Public Safety Budget Subcommittee will meet in room 113 at 9:45.
Thank you. Members, we're going to lift the call on file item number 7. Lifting the call on file item number 7. Secretary, please call the absent members.
Gaines. Gaines, aye.
Ayes 39, no 0. The resolution's adopted. Members, we're going to return to motions and resolutions, this time to address our adjourned memories. Are there any adjourned memories? Senator Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I ask today that we adjourn in the memory of Officer Gregory Casillas, resident of Upland, California, member of the Pomona Police Department. Officer Casillas was who began with the department in 2015, was the future of the Pomona Police Department, and was loved by many for being respectful, intelligent, and compassionate. Officer Casillas was tenacious in his pursuit as he worked up the ranks to become a sworn police officer. Having started as a police record specialist and then a police jailer, Officer Casillas graduated from the San Bernardino Sheriff's Academy in 2017, where he was officially sworn in as a police officer. On March 9th, Officer Casillas, who was just about to complete his field training, bravely responded to an active scene where an armed suspect fled and barricaded himself in an apartment complex. At 30 years old, Officer Casillas was shot and killed in the line of duty while attempting to subdue the barricaded suspect. He will forever be remembered as a hero to the community that he so bravely served. Officer Casillas is survived by his wife, Claudia, and two sons, Gregorio and Marino. To his family, including his parents, Gregory Sr. and Maricela, we send our deepest condolences. Please join me in adjourning in the memory of our hero, Officer Gregory Casillas. And members, I would just ask us to always keep in our hearts, in our prayers, our law enforcement officers. We come to work every day, and we don't really worry about not coming home. The family members that kiss their loved ones goodbye every day wonder if they will come home, and many times they do not. So next time you see a law enforcement agent, shake their hand and wish them well, because they're there to serve us and protect us. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Senator Leyva. Please bring Officer Casillas' name forward so that it may be properly memorialized. Senator Dodd.
Yeah, I appreciate the comments from my colleague from San Bernardino. And on that same note, Mr. President, fellow senators, March 9th, 2018 is a date that I'll remember forever, because the day that we lost three talented, smart, kind, and caring souls who dedicated their lives of service to our veterans. Veterans who fought for us on the battlefield, but have struggled to return to civilian life. Christine Lober, Dr. Jennifer Gray Golick, and Dr. Jennifer Gonzalez Shushariba were killed while they were doing the work they were so passionate about, helping veterans in need at the Pathway Home, a nonprofit located at the Yountville Veterans Home, dedicated to helping post 9/11 veterans cope with the stress and effects of PTSD and other challenges stemming from their deployment. All three will be deeply missed by their loved ones and anyone lucky enough to be touched by their caring and loving presence. Christine Lober. She always wanted to make a difference. She dedicated her life to helping others who needed it the most. Christine was the executive director of the Pathway Home, and she was one of the hardest workers I have ever met. She was known for spending long hours in the office, sometimes even sleeping there to cover a shift at their 24-hour-a-day facility. She was generous with her words and her time and her devotion to veterans. She had a strong moral compass and was extremely committed to doing the right thing. Prior to joining Pathway Home, she also worked for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs at a clinic in Santa Rosa and ran treatment and recovery programs at the VA centers in Boston and Palo Alto. Christine also taught yoga to amputees and veterans suffering from PTSD. On Fridays after work, Christine led a two-hour restorative class. On Sunday, she gave free classes as a part of a six-week long workshop. She never canceled a class, even when there was only one student that showed up. She was focused on creating a better world and healing people, even if it was just one person at a time. Christine is survived by her father, Don Lober, and by her mother, Marie Lober. Dr. Jennifer Gray Golick. She served as the Pathway Home's clinical director. She joined the Pathway Home only last September. Prior to joining the Pathway Home, she spent the previous 5 years at Muir Wood, a residential care program that treats troubled boys, where she helped countless families heal. Jennifer was bright, always had a big warm smile, and knew just what words to use. She regularly helped her colleagues. She pushed others to be better human beings, to trust their instincts, to turn mistakes into teachable moments. She helped people be better versions of themselves. Jennifer also volunteered regularly for community coalitions on addiction and would travel around the country giving educational presentations on cannabis at schools, clinics, and conferences. Jennifer is survived by her husband, Mark Golick, and her 8-year-old daughter. She is also survived by her mother, Lelani Gray, and her many longtime friends in the St. Helena community. Dr. Jennifer Gonzalez-Shushariba was a clinical psychologist with U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and spent time at the Pathway Home so she could help veterans find academic and vocational programs to return to school. Jen was pregnant and looking forward to having her first child. She was only 32 years old and in the prime of her life. My heart goes out to Jen's husband, TJ Shushariba. I cannot fathom the pain that he must be feeling today. Last year, she was married to the love of her life, TJ, right here in Sacramento. This weekend, they were supposed to celebrate their one-year anniversary. She was widely respected in the field of psychology and considered a PTSD expert. She dedicated much of her professional life to helping veterans struggling to build a better life after deployment. Jen will be missed by her husband, TJ, her large family, and even larger group of friends. Members, these three brave, smart, strong, and loving women will be forever missed, but not ever forgotten. Our thoughts are with their families, their friends, and loved ones of Christine Lober, Jennifer Gray Golick, and Jennifer Gonzalez Shushariba. I ask that we adjourn in their memory. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dodd. A truly tragic and unfortunate event. Please bring their names forward and thank their family for their service so that they may be properly memorialized. Senator Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. President. This week, Chapman Law School, also known as the Fowler Law School, lost one of their professors to complications with pneumonia, Ron Rotunda. Amazing career, went to Harvard, graduated Harvard Law, known throughout the United States, but in 2008, he joined the Chapman Fowler Law School and held the Doy and D. Henley Chair and Distinguished Professor of Jurisprudence. Here, Ron has taught professional responsibility, constitutional law, and other advanced constitutional law courses. His work continued with incredible scholarly work, including his most recent book, John Marshall, and the Cases That United the States of America. His textbooks on professional responsibility and constitutional law are among the most widely used and widely respected in the country. In addition to publishing a number of books, Ron authored more than 500 articles in various law reviews, journals, newspapers, and books in the United States and abroad. Ron's publications have been cited more than 2,000 times by law reviews, state, federal courts, and foreign courts in Europe, Africa, Asia, and South America. We just want to remember his family at this time of loss and adjourn in his memory. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Murdoch. Please bring his name forward so that it may be properly memorialized. Members, any additional adjourn in memories? Senator Wilk?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to remove SJR 19 from the inactive file and place back on the file.
Without objection. Members, any additional adjourned memories or motions and resolutions? Seeing none, if there's no further business, Senator DeLeon, the desk is clear.
Thank you much, colleagues. It looks like it's stormy and blustery outside, so be very careful if you're going to be driving home very soon. And hope you have a very productive weekend with your loved ones, with your constituents, with your staff. We will reconvene on Monday at 2 p.m. Monday, 2 p.m. Be mindful that on Monday is the state of the judiciary. So the probabilities that we'll reconvene on Monday, 2 o'clock, we'll work the file. We'll see how much work we have. And if we have enough work that takes us close to the 4 o'clock hour, what we'll do is we'll adjourn and we'll walk together to the green carpet with our colleagues over in the State Assembly. Again, it is the state of the judiciary where our Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of California, again, on an annual basis, gives her state of the address. So with that, have a wonderful, productive weekend. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you. Members, the Senate will be in recess until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We will reconvene Monday at 2 p.m. Have a good weekend, members. Thank you.